Mafia Podcast.
Hello, folks. Welcome to another hostful episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. I am the main host, frontman of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. With me today is Zombie Bunny.
Hello.
She's our resident husky lover and corgi lover. Big Candy could not be with us today because she's in the process of breaking the fourth dimension, for one thing. And as we stated last hostful, he was coughing up a lung. This time around, he couldn't make it because where he works it's been a long day, folks. Trust me, we had mic issues. I forgot the mics. But where he works, somebody left the company for whatever reason, and he had to cover for them for today as much as he wanted to show up. He is... He broke the fourth dimension. He went back in time, recorded an episode through Skype, and we'll be posting that in a few weeks. So that's fun and dandy. So because he wanted to record in reference to 1 year, and that's how long we've been doing this. 1 year. One year. And we were trying to get somebody to get us back to our location where we have some of our equipment. We were talking about how we've been here 1 year, and as I told or will tell, we'll be trying to confuse our listeners, breaking the fourth dimension, as I once said, that we'll get this podcast up to 88 miles per hour and break the time barrier. If we were recording at the library, the whole mic issue would have been resolved in less than a half an hour.
Not to mention you forgot to plug it in.
Yeah, I forgot to. It's been a long week, folks. The heat and everything else. As I will tell or have told Big Candy that one of the biggest growths on our show has been the person that's sitting right in front of me right now, Zombie Bunny. Because she has grown so much with our show, and I did tell her father that she has grown so much. When she first started this show, she was such an introvert and so shy on the show. Now we try to get her to laugh, and we have so many, even though we try every now and again to get her to bang her head on the table.
Try not to do it on this one. This one's made of glass.
But I feel like banging my head on the table. But I'm going to give her, like I did or will do with Big Candy, I'm going to give her a chance to critique me.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, I'm going to give her a shot to a chance to get some pot shots against me.
Oh, jeez. Don't make me critique.
And the thing is, the show notes I gave her, I didn't put that in there.
You didn't put that in there. I also didn't read them. I forgot to. I got busy.
And the thing is, what she told me, kept telling me, it's like, I want to see the show notes before, so I know kind of what we're talking about. And what'd she do? Not read them.
Oh. I'm not
and, I, and the thing is, I told her, it's like, listen, as I told her, it's like, you have the right to yell at me all the damn time. But.
I'm not good at critiquing. You can ask my art teacher. I took 5 years of art, and I still am not really good at critiquing.
And it takes you 1 year to do a pair of socks and carpal tunnel. We'll never let you live that down, along with the fact of, I'm a gamer. I'm wearing a bikini. That was our first sound drop ever.
Yeah.
Ever. And I still use it as part of the theme song every now and again. Which is teamed up with Big Candy's next sound drop. And you skewed it up. That did make it to one of the intro songs. I used that part of a mashup. It's you doing, I'm a gamer. I'm wearing a bikini. And right after that is Big Candy going, and you skewed it up. And right after that is when I had you record a little bit aspects of the Long Coat Mafia. And it's you going, oh. So just the whole setup is like, I'm a gamer. I'm wearing a bikini. And you skewed it up. Oh. Hopefully we'll get a few things done. We have loads of planned for the show. Our 3-hour long discussion that we had and will have with Yes, right. We need Doc Brown to sort out this timeline. We had a 3-hour discussion with about promotion and our 1-year anniversary and Geek Talk with Big Candy. That'll be out in about a week after this show drops. So stay tuned for that. But for right now, we're still talking about 1 year. We'll probably go back to that because, like I said, Zombie Bunny has progressed so much with our show. We try to get her, instead of one of the traditions that has, for every tradition that kind of went to the wayside, another one tends to come up and fill its place. And one of the things that we try to do is get Zombie Bunny to laugh. Despite the fact that she has ascribed her laugh as a dying llama, we don't think so. We love to get her to laugh. We wish Big Candy was here to try to do that as well. But, again, he couldn't make it due to work reasons. And even though he doesn't want to work, it gives him the extra cash to provide for his family. And as always with the show, family comes first. And if he couldn't make it, it's him. Since we have Skype up, and if he wants to record, he's always welcome to, you know, call in and tell me that I want to record an episode, and we'll do kind of a one-shot. That will be kind of a tradition that we try to do, that every now and again, if something comes up, like this upcoming Monday, after this show drops, I'll be going to Hagerstown to see, in theater, the animated Killing Joke.
I'm jealous.
You're jelly?
Yes.
You're jelly.
I wish I could see it.
And the thing is, probably after that, who I'm going with, we're probably using the digital voice recorder and doing a one-shot episode of what we thought of the movie and kind of a movie review. More movie reviews to come up, and one of which that probably Zombie Bunny will be yelling at me about, which he's more than well to disagree and yell at me, but we have things to talk about. One of which, as I've said many a times, whereas one of my favorite podcasts is the CU podcast, or the Completely Unnecessary podcast, run by Pat the NES Punk. They have a skit on theirs, or I'd say a skit, or tend to be a weekly topic, or a topic that comes up, is their Scumbag Seller of the Week, which they go over people trying to scam the customers and so forth and so on. Hmm. Ours recently has been the aspect of the local library. Because it's the topic that just won't die. One of the things
it is so inconvenient that we can't be at the library.
Yeah, it is, because as we stated in the past, the current director has pushed us out, saying that we are not a nonprofit, and we can no longer use the small conference room to record safely and bring in guests and so forth and so on. But that is on her. I have. Even though, due to work reasons, I've been trying to get my voice heard in this whole debacle, it's come out in the local paper recently that she's been going under. She used to do libraries under a different name. She changed her name to "quote unquote" privacy under after she got a divorce, and that she apparently she's been. I'm using that word. Apparently and allegedly, what she's doing here at this particular library, she's done at several other libraries in the past. She's tried to do lawsuits, and she misappropriated funds and so forth and so on in other libraries. When the local paper contacted her last employer, or the last library she was at in Maine, the person in charge, or in essence, was letting her go, in the process of letting her go, when she got hired on down here in Berkeley County in the Martinsburg area, said, "Doesn't surprise me," because that was, in essence, what we were firing her for here in Maine. So, but as of today, this recording, Saturday, I think it's July 23rd, mm-hmm. Front page news that there was an executive meeting yesterday by the board members saying that she's on, in essence, instead of doing a year review, she's going to have a 6-month review and be on, in essence, probation. That's what it sounds like. She's going to be on our microscope. But the sad part is, there's a good chunk of the board that's kind of on her side. And there's word on the street has it, there's a lot of people that are backstabbers at the library and kind of the snitches in the library that, you know, will backstab you in a moment's notice.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a while before we ever get back in the library. If there is a director change, I would personally have to meet with that director to see if we get back in that small conference room. But until then, it will keep everybody in touch with what's going on with this. It might be kind of a regular bit on the show and for the time being. But in kind of lighter, we'll kind of switch back between lighter and darker news and so forth and so on. As many of you have been seeing in the your local papers and online on Facebook and Twitter and here, there, and everything is Pokemon Go.
Yay!
Something that Zombie Bunny kind of knows.
I do know this, although I don't have it on my phone because my phone is incapable of it.
I do recommend, Bunny, trying it now because my El Cheapo tablet couldn't run it.
But
now
guess
it does.
Guess what's wrong with my phone now?
What?
The Wi-Fi isn't working. Like, you know the little thing that senses Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
It's not working. It won't sense the Wi-Fi, and I've already blown through my data watching a slinky on a treadmill.
Yes, folks, you heard that first. She blew her data on her phone about watching two slinkies race each other on a treadmill.
I had to see who won.
And I want to blame her hair dye, but somehow I can't do that.
No, this hair dye is back from a few months back, so it's like not even touching my scalp anymore.
You sure? You sure the blondness isn't affecting something?
That's right. I'm a natural blonde.
And you're smarter than that. How dare you perpetuate a stereotype?
I pull blonde jokes on myself, so I'm pretty much asking for it.
And the thing is, I've done that in work, and it was against blonde people, and they never got the jokes. So.
Oh, God.
And one of them was a Super Friends joke. And the thing, let me say this. She was a twin, and she came out holding her fist out, and I went up to her and went, knowing the fact that she's an identical twin, went, Wonder Twin powers activate, and I bumped her fist, and she looked at me with a confused look.
What? I know that, and I'm only 24. I used to watch the Justice League. Oh, I also watched the Justice Friends, which was a segment on Dexter.
To get in that, but to move a little bit for the moment away from Pokemon Go, even though we'll be going to San Diego Comic-Con in a little bit, but word came out of San Diego Comic-Con. There is a Justice League
okay.
show that's coming out, and it's like one of those things that wants to be serious, but it looks like it's gunned for between the 5 and 10-year-old crowd. That's how the animation looks.
Okay.
And it's like a step down from the Batman and cartoon that came out a couple years ago that, you know, was kind of...
Batman Animated?
Not Batman Animated. The kind of one that was like Batman team-up sort of thing. That was Batman, The Bold and whatever it was.
The Brave and the Bold.
The Brave and the Bold. It's a step down animation-wise from that. But Pokemon Go came out. It doesn't work on all cell phones, which... but with the update, it works on my El Cheapo tablet that I have at home.
I need a new
With Wi-Fi. It works on my El Cheapo.
It's a brick.
El Cheapo phone. So it kind of works, but I don't have data. Mine's pay-as-you-go, and I don't have money on my phone to have it work. But it works with Wi-Fi, so I'm kind of limited. But it's a good app. It's getting people out.
I hate the people that are saying it's a game for 10-year-olds. Yeah, it's 10 and up, which means anybody from the age 10 to age 110 can play this game.
It's getting people up, but there are problems. There are people walking off cliffs. But the thing is, they had to climb a fence, ignore the sign saying, you know, cliff ahead. They had to climb barriers to get...
Oh, I heard that story. Yeah. I snoped it. It's fake. It's fake.
But there have been people that have found bodies, dead bodies.
That one is fake, too.
I heard that there was at least two found. So it's kind of hard right now. There has been one person that said they witnessed a crime while surfing it, catching Pokemon. Rumors has it that that's fake because he's kind of hoaxing it.
However, there is a true story that a girl crossed a busy highway and got hit by a car.
And
her mother's like, it's the game's fault. It's like, no, it's the girl's fault. She shouldn't have crossed the freaking highway.
Right. But some businesses are kind of using this as a way of basic promotion, which is a good thing.
That's a good thing.
We'll kind of discuss a little bit of how this with – I will – discuss this with Big Candy, or I did, depending on how you want to look at it, fourth dimensionally, about promotion and all this, and in reference to how long this will last as type of promotional-wise, I don't know. The game is still basic, which means there's no trading, there's no one-on-one battles.
Well, yeah, but it's still growing.
It's still growing. Rumor has it that eventually that will happen, which is a good thing. That means that if someone has Pokemon Go on their phone and I have it out running on my phone, there's a chance we'll be either trade or battle without actually having to go to a gym, which is, again, a good thing, which means if you're in an area with Wi-Fi and all you got is Wi-Fi on your phone, you could at least do something. Another thing is that I kind of jokingly, talking with a friend, jokingly said, yeah, watch Mewtwo's at Area 51. Oh. Wouldn't that be funny? But as apparently a couple of other people have thought about this too.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like, you know that weird, like, wouldn't it be funny if Mewtwo's at Area 51?
Mm-hmm.
And they went to Rachel, I think it's Rachel, Nevada, as much as I don't want to say that name, but they went to Rachel, Nevada, where Area 51 is at. They went there, they looked in the general area. There's no gym at, there are gyms in that vicinity, but there's no gym at Area 51.
Ah.
And there's no Pokestop at Area 51 per se, but there are Pokestops in that area. So, and they did do a hunt of the Pokemon that are in that area. Mewtwo is nowhere to be found. So, they said probably
some Sandshrews.
But they didn't really say what Pokemon were there, but it's they said, obviously, that there's not many people playing Pokemon Go in that area because the gyms were empty or they weren't taken over. So they went to every Pokemon stop and they went to all the gyms that were in the area and they took everything over. And they said it was empty, it was fun, it was just something to do. But it was.
They must have a lot of free time because I couldn't. No, they were just in that area.
They were on vacation or something like that.
They were in the area.
Yeah, they were on vacation. I guess they were like, "Well, we're here. Wouldn't it be funny if?" And that's kind of a good thing. That's always a good thing. Good to hear. There's one Pokemon stop here in town that's right in front of the old. I won't say an old, but the guy runs a hardware store in town, Lewis Hardware. And because he runs a branch of the post office, just in, like, outgoing mail and so forth and so on, because of that, his hardware store is a Pokemon stop.
Mm.
And he kind of knew about the game, but didn't really know about the game, if you could understand that.
Yeah.
Because he has, the advertising aspect of it, he's not really pushing it, but he's... He has a sign up in his window saying drinks and snacks here. And he sells like cans of soda for like 50 cents.
Hmm.
Everything's kind of cheap in there. So you could wander in like, oh, snacks, I'm thirsty. I'm, you know.
To anyone who lives in near the Spring Mills Walmart, there's a little place called Stumpy's Hollow. It's like, it's not really a store. It's more of one of those historical landmarks. There's a gym there. So if you ever want to find a gym, go to that one. I keep seeing Listen to me talk today. And I keep seeing cars park over there. And it's like, why are these? At first I was like, why are all these cars here? It's like, oh, there's a Pokemon gym over there. That's cool.
Remember, Bunny, if the cars are rocking, you don't go a knocking.
But we're nerds, so the cars won't be rocking. We'll just have our phones out like this. Looking for
Wi-Fi. Last hostful that we had, that at least you and I are together, Bunny, was that we mentioned that Cap is now Hydra. It turns out, because of the fan backlash, there was an issue that came out afterwards saying it was all due to the cosmic. They kind of retconned it. Because they said it's now, the reason why what happened was a little girl was under the influence of the cosmic cube.
Oh, no.
So, and it was all this little girl's fault.
Ugh.
But, which that, even though it's stupid, it's sad, it leads us into this. I should have brought Tylenol for you. You might be banging your head. Leads us into the next major headache. In regards to Civil War II, that's an issue-wise that's been being put out by Marvel.
Okay.
It's kind of spoilers that, but in a way it is, in a way it's not. But it, in the issues they said Tony Stark will be stepping down as Iron Man.
Oh, I heard about this one. This one makes me happy.
Riri. What the backlash is about this is that a lot, even though it kind of seems natural, a lot of people are saying that the reason why, even though it's going to be a 15-year-old black woman,
mm-hmm.
That a lot of people are pissed, a lot of fans are pissed, is because this was a majority of the pushing of the SJW movement. Social Justice Warriors.
Okay.
Because what tends to happen is a lot of social justice warriors tend to be, we don't have a black character doing this. We don't have it's not black female, or she's meaning they to kind of over exaggerate it. It's like, we'd rather have a black female midget that's Jewish and gay in this character, and we want that to happen now and put it as this character now. And they have, and the majority of these SJWs have no clue about the character or the history or so forth and so on. They just want it to happen. And what many fans are saying is, like, if you want a character that is a minority or a minority of a minority of a minority, learn to draw, learn to write your own stuff, and make your own. There's plenty of room to make your own comment. And it's one of those things that...
See, I was happy about finding out about the character, but when you go into the actual story of why she's a character, it's like, oh, disappointment.
Even though she's an intelligent young woman... Meaning,
I mean, I'm happy that there's a girl and she's playing Iron Man. It's like, oh, that's cool. But then when you go into the actual story about it, it's kind of like a buzzkill. It's like, oh.
If it was a natural thing, like, hey, that it wasn't an aspect of SJWs pushing for this,
mm-hmm.
or the reports that SJWs are pushing for this that are non-fans, yet it's that Debbie Downer. It turns to a Debbie Downer. And what other people are pissed about is that this character is named Riri. Spelt R-I-R-I.
It's a weird name.
But the controversy comes into the fact that when you look up Riri, spelt R-E-R-E, in the Urban Dictionary, Riri, again spelt R-E-R-E, means to be retarded or stupid.
I thought her name was R-I-R-I.
It is R-I. Okay. They probably changed the spelling to kind of keep the same pronunciation, but... make it look more of a natural name. But the sad part is that the question that I kind of bring up is that, is this the writer's way of saying this whole aspect of the SJWs forcing this character on us, or forcing Marvel to have us do this character, is a way of us saying, subliminally saying that this idea is stupid or retarded. Whether that's true or not is, you know, it's a question that people can discuss. Yeah, but it, the reason why I say it's, it, if it's natural, it's a good thing. Like the aspect of Wolverine's daughter taking over the mantle.
Yeah,
that's, to me, that's okay.
Okay, fine. Natural thing.
It's a natural thing. She's taken over the mantle of her father.
Yeah.
Fine, whatever. But this was like, okay, I'm stepping down because I'm sick and tired of, you know, this, that, nothing. I'm going to give it to this. Granted, she's a very, not only is she African-American, of African descent, meaning she's black, she's an MIT, 15 years old and an MIT student.
Graduate.
Student. And she's making her own, quote-unquote, Iron Man armor. That's fine and dandy, but it seems, when you find, again, like you said, when you find out this is pushed by... SJWs, it's more of a downer. It's like you don't know what, if you want something, like I said, if you want your own minority character,
learn to write, learn to draw, do it yourself,
because there's plenty of room for that. And there's a lot of great people. Like when I went to Baltimore Comic Con, like back in 2008, there's a comic called, we picked up a comic called Bounty Hunter. The guy had his own, I mean, it was drawn beautifully. I wanted to pick up page art off this guy. Mm. And he said, no, he was polite about it. He said, no, I want to keep the page art because I want it to be part of my portfolio. I completely understood that, and I complimented it on his work, how detailed it was, both in the comic form, printed form, and as he drew it raw there, you know, raw, seeing the page art. And I mean, it was beautifully written. He wrote it himself. He drew it himself. Granted, he had somebody else ink it, but
inking is kind of tedious.
Yeah, you know, he did the majority of it himself, and even he published it himself. It was a great, you know, if someone who wanted some, you know, someone like this character, he did it himself, and the person was African American descent. That's fine. That's dandy. That's, you know, hey, that's what you do. You can't really push something. Do it yourself. That's why there's room. That's why there's independent artists in the artist alley. Granted, you're going to have some good, some bad. But another thing is, like, it kind of looks into, like, I was going to bring up that it's kind of like the Captain America's death / Hydra issue, the Spider-Man issue. It's kind of that. It's,
yeah,
it's stupid. And to kind of move on, kind of the, again, pound your head on the desk scenario, with the, this week, the new Star Trek movie came out. Granted, we had a passing. The person who played the new Chekhov passed away due to, I think it was like a car accident. I'm not knocking the character at all or his role. He tried to play the character the best he could. You know,
I never saw the movie, so I don't know. But it is rather sad how he died.
Yeah, it's tragic. But the thing is, with this movie that just was released, word came out that the Sulu in this movie, they were going to show that he has a male partner, a.k.a. in essence, he's gay. And folks, before you get up in arms, save that for later. But he comes out, and in essence, they hint that he's gay and that he has a child. Him and his partner have a child, so forth and so on. And in wake of this, George Takei, or Takei, depending on how...
Yeah, it's pronounced... is this E-I? It's pronounced with an A. If it's A-I, it's I.
I think he pronounces Takei.
He pronounces it Takei.
Takei.
Takei as in gay.
he paraphrased, even to kind of paraphrase his statement was that even though he was kind of happy to see that this is there, because he's outspoken both from the Japanese community and as the someone as the gay community or the LGBT community, he said even though he's happy to see this, he knew Gene Roddenberry, and he said this is not how the character was initially written. And that the initial character was straight in the fact, so forth and so on. But George is getting hate from both sides. He's literally getting hate from both sides. Mm. Because he's speaking out that this character shouldn't be gay, even though he's a person that's kind of on the forefront of the LGBT community. But and he's getting fans from the other side saying that, you know, but both sides are kind of, his side is kind of true, and so is the other side, saying that this is an alternate timeline, that this, meaning once the remake was done, it's an alternate timeline, therefore this character can be gay. So in essence, both sides are kind of right. Just wanted to go through that. Let's see. Next up, it's the sponsors. I don't think you heard about this.
What are they?
About the Counter-Strike Go issue?
I have
not. No. Me and Big Kenny were kind of talking about this because he didn't hear it either. But over the past couple of weeks, a YouTuber by the name of H3H3 kind of brought to light a kind of a Counter-Strike or CSGO controversy between a couple of YouTubers, and there's a site called CSGO Lotto, which means that you could buy, under this whole aspect of Steam and CSGO, you could buy crates which have weapon skins in them. And you could trade weapon skins. Some are very rare, going for a couple thousand dollars, and kind of like how pinko machines are in Japan. You could, even though you can trade them back or sell them for Steam credit, there are some sites that you could sell that credit for, like, 90, you get 90 cents out of a dollar. Type of thing, which means if they're $1,000, you could get $900 back. But even though these, in Steam's terms of service, says you can't do any of this stuff for business purposes, but somehow these websites like CSGO Lotto have found workarounds, and this, in essence, it's online betting and online gambling, so forth and so on. And there are some users under 13 that are able to go onto the site and pay money for this. But what was happening was two YouTubers that were under kind of a promotional contract for another site, and this one other person that actually owned CSGO Lotto, no one put in their, either in their description or in their videos in any way, shape, or form saying that they either owned the site or were being promoted by the site, which is against FCC regulations for one, against terms of service by YouTube for another. And what was also happening is that in these videos, because they were like the two YouTubers that were promotional, the site had, because it's all programming, was able to rig the site that these, whereas if you went into the site and paid the money, it's actual odds. It's like you playing the lottery and you having the actual odds. But if I'm the promotional person and I'm getting paid and I pay, like, okay, here's a dollar, here's my name, all of a sudden I'm winning $100,000, I'm winning $1 million, I'm winning this, I'm winning that. All of a sudden my odds, quote unquote odds, are better than yours, way better than yours, automatically. I'm getting the higher tier stuff, I'm getting the higher in skins that are worth more. That's what was in essence happening with these YouTubers.
That seems like cheating.
In essence, it was. It was to, if they said, hey, this is promotional stuff, I own the site, this is what, in essence, what you can win, it would have been a different matter. They weren't saying that at all, and people were flocking to these sites in droves, spending hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars, and winning the common skins. And one, the owner of the CS Lotto was pretty much going, I think he, one of them went on YouTube as a response to this, and in essence, during the video, he was rubbing his nipple saying, I don't care. Another, the owner said, oh, I think it was a printed statement, said, oh, I wasn't an owner of this site until later on, yet further digging by other people have proved otherwise. He was the owner of the site all along. But there's been lawsuits and by everybody. Let's see. And a lot of people have said there's going to be possible charges on this, you know, either from the FCC, and not to mention after, because of all this shining light on CSGO, the FCC went and put charges and fines on Warner Brothers because of a similar deal. And one of the major hit people, YouTubers that was hit, that kind of, he put on his description that it was promotional, but the way YouTube is set up, it was underneath the Show More section, so you didn't really know, was PewDiePie.
Oh.
So in essence, he got dinged, but that the date of that video was before a lot of the laws were changed, so it was in that aspect of gray area, and it's putting a lot of light on all, a lot of these sites that are not mentioning that that are promotional or promotional stuff. But That being said, we are our podcast, Long Coat Mafia Podcast, is now partnered, if not sponsored or affiliated with Podbean. I don't have an official script to say, but we are sponsored, which means I get to say stuff like this. If you don't like our content and you wish to put out your own content, Podbean will host your podcast, whether video or audio. If you don't have to be any technical expertise in putting everything together, if an idiot like me could do this, if a moron can put this a podcast together and post it on Podbean, so can you. Just go to podbean.com/Goomba. That's podbean.com/GOOMBA. You get 1 month free.
Is it after that month is free?
Right now they're doing a promotion that it's $9 a month for 1 year, unlimited bandwidth, which means you can, if 1,000 people want to download your show a week, you can't. And you can, there's no really megabyte limit or whatever. And after that 1 year, it's $10 a month. Or you could do the year plan, which might offer a discount. They have other plans where if you need to do shopping aspects and carts and your own .com, instead of having a Podbean dot, you know, whatever your podcast is, .podbean.com, you could have the actual .com. That's extra, the next tier up. But for $10 a month ain't bad. Yeah. $10 a month for unlimited access, it is great. Again, we're affiliated, sponsored, partnered, call what you want. For everybody we recommend, we get a couple of cents. But that's how it usually is. That's how I said we're partnered, affiliated, and I'll try to do that more often. Now, that being said, because I think it was kind of a, before we go into our reviews, and part of, I'll probably get the most hit than you in regards to this because of my opinion, but we'll come back to it, is the last time when we were in this the Daily Grind, we thanked them for hosting us, so forth and so on, is the one versus two. The verses.
Okay.
Hopefully next host we'll have Big Candy and we'll have more of a bigger discussion.
Yeah.
As always, I've got this from grudgemash.com. That's my source. I'm sourcing it up, people. What I'll do is I'll give the scenario that they provided and the verses that they provided. And when Big Candy, both Big Candy and Zombie Bunny, will discuss it out who they think would be the winner. Right now it's just going to be Zombie Bunny. At least I didn't say Zombie Beaver this time. But she'll tell me who she thinks will win the battle, and I tell her who, the people voted on and who actually won. First up, we're going to have Star Trek type people. First up is the Enterprise versus the Death Star. The setup is this. It's come to our attention that there apparently and was, and possibly still is, a debate over which would win the Machano matchup, the Death Star versus the Enterprise. News group chatter to be damned. Let's decide this for real, folks. Enterprise, led by Kirk and company, of course, up against Death Star, with Darth Vader, no emperor, who controls the universe at the battle's end. Who do you think would win the setup?
The Enterprise.
Enterprise, why?
Because you could change the ships all you want. There's always going to be that one spot on the start, on what is it?
That 3 meter exhaust port?
Yes. There's always going to be that hole that you can hit easily, no problem.
So you think the Enterprise?
Yes.
The original Enterprise?
Yes.
Well, according to the votes that were tallied when this versus was posted, the Enterprise got 462 votes, while as the Death Star got 1,067 votes.
Oh.
So don't be disappointed. Next up.
Well, it is a peaceful ship. They don't really...
Next up. is the Borg versus an ID4 Independence Day mothership. The setup is this. A black shape looms over the dark side of the moon. Slowly, the Earth rises above the horizon. The mothership proceeds onward with one mission clearly in mind. Kill all inhabitants and then ransack the planet. Suddenly, a warp in the space-time continuum, trademark, occurs. From this fissure in the fourth dimension emerges a ship as large as the first, but with noticeably different shape. It too is headed towards Earth, its goal, to assimilate the entire planet, its inhabitants, and its technology. Clearly, this planet ain't big enough for the both of them, and since they both come from the Dirty Harry, trademark, school of shoot first and don't bother with the questions later, trademark, the battle begins immediately. So, which giant ship wins this semifinal match for Earth's supremacy before moving on to the finals and certain destruction at the hands of the star-studded Hollywood cast?
I think I'm going to go with the Independence Day ship because it's a lot bigger than the cube, and it's not a cube.
So you
does it defy logic?
Well, in space, you don't really have to be aerodynamic.
It's a cube.
It's a cube.
It's just square. There's nothing.
So your whole logic is that it's you're going to go with the ship. The Borg won't win the fact that their ship is square.
It's not aerodynamic.
It's not aerodynamic.
It's just a floating square that apparently teleports.
Well, according to the poll or the votes, the Independence Day mothership gets 755 votes,
okay,
while as the Borg get 1,905 votes.
Oh, I guess the square one.
Back to square one.
Bad pun. Sorry, guys.
The final mashup is going to be Microsoft versus Disney. The setup is thus. In his small, dank basement somewhere in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Cliff Hoffa works steadily. On his personal computer, he's cranking out illegal copy after illegal copy of a bootleg program called Mickey's Trademark Windows, trademark 96, for kids. Strewn around the room are yet-to-be-assembled boxes featuring the undeniable images of Mickey Mouse himself as well as Windows 95 icon. This thing is going to make me rich, he mutters to himself. You see, Cliff has already made over $100,000 on his little scheme of his. Then comes a loud knock on his door. Cliff Hoffa is never heard from again. A few anonymous witnesses report two sets of what appear to be hired goons removing Mr. Hoffa forcibly from his home. Although most of the neighbors denied seeing anything unusual, coincidentally, the next day, both Microsoft Incorporated, trademarked, and the Walt Disney Corporation, trademarked, follow suit against Hoffa's estate, claiming that they are in deserve of the $100,000 in profits. Who's going to win this legal battle?
Well, let's face it, we're all doomed.
Yep. We're doomed!
It's probably going to be Disney.
Disney? Well, in this case, you're correct. Disney. Yay! Disney had 795 votes, and Microsoft got a whopping 452. So it wasn't that big of a margin. As we continue, we have the next. Put those out of the way. Hopefully, I'm making a mess out of this, folks. This is what happens when we get a late start, misplaced equipment. And the host having an ID10T problem. We're going to move on to a little bit of reviews. I'm going to start off with the Independence Day review. I don't think you've seen that.
I haven't seen it, but I heard it's not that great.
It was one of those things that was kind of banking on the original, and it kind of, if you didn't see the original, you had no clue what was going on in any way, shape, or form. It kind of led on that you were supposed to know who these characters were and so forth and so on. Will Smith was not a part of this. A lot of it seemingly failed. It wanted to be an action movie.
It wanted so hard.
So hard, but it somehow failed.
It was like an inch too short for the roller coaster.
Right. Yeah. Best way to put it. It had no one-liners like the original had, like "Welcome to Earth," and it had no setup. Will Smith was not a part of this because some people say he didn't want to be a part of any more sequels. Another set
as the guy who was in Suicide Squad, which is probably going to have a sequel.
No, probably most likely. He'll be offered dump trucks upon dump trucks full of money, which is probably what he wanted in the first place with this, and they just. Fell to the wayside. Hell, his original character was not even mentioned in this.
Supposedly, I saw a picture of him, didn't I?
There was a picture of him, but him being absent in the movie, in essence, according to movie lore, or when you went into things, he supposedly died in a test. He was a test pilot, and he died in a crash.
Mm.
That was never mentioned or brought up. It was some of it was a little lacking in. The guy who plays Data was also in the original, but and he comes back for the sequel. And at the end of this, he pretty much says, "We're going to." In essence, he pretty much announces to everybody that there was going to be a sequel to this. And it was like 1 week. The movie was there, and the next week it was kind of gone. But I mean, this is ID. I mean, the ID. Independence Day 2, you know, it's just a lot of it kind of fails. It wanted to be more of a drama mixed in with action movie, but it didn't work out. A lot of it just it wanted to be a sci-fi action, but just kind of fell flat a little bit.
I hate drama.
It wasn't drama, but they wanted to set a lot of stuff up, and they tried to connect it with the original, and they tried to add a few extra things to the original that didn't happen to in the original, like they were mining and into the Earth's core, and that was never really brought up in the original movie. But they tried to add that stuff into this. Next up, this is where I'm going to get me personally, the Rev. Send your hate to longcoatmafia@gmail.com. I don't care. This is my opinion. My opinion alone. Zombie Bunny will probably have her own opinion. She's more than happy to disagree with me in reference to this a lot. And that's the latest. Even though she's sitting here across from me wearing a Ghostbusters uniform.
That I made by myself.
That she made by herself, and it looks very good. This past weekend, within the past week, I saw it this past week, Tuesday. Saw the new Ghostbusters, reluctantly, I saw the new Ghostbusters movie. I did not like it. I don't know if you saw it or not. I did not like it.
I haven't seen it, but I feel like you've been boo-hooing this since you first heard about it, and you're pretty much setting yourself up for disappointment in a way.
I went in with it, even though I was on the bandwagon of boo-hooing it and everything else. I wanted so much. I was looking for the good in it. I went looking for the good. I'll say that. I went in looking for the good. But for everything that, and as I said before online, I'm giving this a solid 3 out of 10, because there's so much wrong what they did with it that I'm not a screenwriter. I came up with better ideas for a script than this person has ever done. The person who wrote this pretty much says, if you don't see this movie, you're a misogynist, you're sexist, and you're a moron. Now, this is the person that wrote...
Is that what they really said?
That's what the writer of this movie said.
Mm.
That was behind this, said. And when you kind of look at it, it tries so hard to bring up aspects of feminism that it circles back around and becomes sexist and upon itself against feminists and women. It's bad, and meaning that it kind of rubber bands itself so many times. You know, it goes back and forth. Meaning, like with Kate Middleton's character who played Jillian Hossman, there are times that her character seems perfect and great, and it rubber bands that she comes off as a pothead, to the completely other end of the spectrum that she comes off.
Do you mean Holtzman?
Holtzman. Like she comes off as a pothead in one, like a genius pothead in one instance, rubber bands all the way back to the other end of the spectrum that she comes off as like a lesbian, and rubber bands back that she's a great character and a badass, and rubber bands back to a different direction. Like the writer was kind of trying these different aspects, and it just does not work out. Right now, I'm not denying that these are bad actresses, just that it was not written for them, or if it was written for them, it wasn't written for them well. They just chose poorly in reference to these characters. And they could have done, every time there was something that could have shown promise of where the story could have happened, the movie turned around and shot itself in the foot. Literally, it shot itself in the foot. There was no aspect of, well, the main bad guy in this said the reason why he's doing this is because he kept getting bullied.
That's how a lot of villains start out, though.
Yeah, but when he's one of two deaths in this film, because in essence he commits suicide to activate his machine, and all of a sudden he has powers as a spirit. Like Gozer, well, yeah, type power. No, I'm not talking atypical possession. He has literally like Gozer type powers. Godlike powers. And there's no explanation in the film of why he has these level of powers. Whereas if there was a setup to say that he was praying to Gozer, and thus Gozer gave him some powers, or Zul gave him some powers.
Zul's just a minion of Gozer. So
right. I'm just saying, if there was a setup like that, that there was some power given to him to set up, because sure. Zul is...
Okay, I haven't seen the film, but I think I know what you're talking about, the machine. The machine was built to charge the ley lines, which means with the charge with supernatural energy. What if he, throwing himself into the machine, charged himself up with superpowers?
But if that was the case, there was no foresight to say that. There was no exposition saying that. Normally in that, like in the original or most movies, that they will say, if he did this because it charged him up, or charged the ley lines, it gave him
the machine and the
ley lines gave him this. There was none of that. There was none of that. Like, if you want to go with, use the originals as a reference, where, all right, who's Zul, who's Gozer? Egon goes up to, you know, the Tobin spirit guy, pulls out the Tobin spirit guy, flips him. Oh, Zul is this person. He's a...
He didn't flip through it. They had a bunch of printouts.
They had the printout. Well, Zul is this, this, that. Or who's Vigo? You know, they pull it up on the computer. They give some sort of exposition as to this character, who it is, to kind of fill in the audience of what's going on. There's none of that. And it's when they talk about the ley lines... It's, okay, this incident happens here, this happens here. There's no real pattern other than it makes an X. And when you look at it, and all of a sudden she just looks at the paper and goes, there's a pattern here. Other than four locations, and you just...
You know what a ley line is?
Yeah, I know what a ley line is. And it's just like, she makes an X, and she says, that's center. And what's that address? Well, it's crossed. She says, where's that center at? Oh, it's this location. And she's like, she's thinking, she's running out. You kind of want to expect her to say, that's where I used to live. That's the center it is. That's where I used to live. That's why I saw this ghost for over a year. That's where I saw it. No wonder, this spot's very powerful. And then all of a sudden, could it be ley lines? And all of a sudden, just a random book off the shelf, not, hey, I have a book about ley lines. They just reach over, pull a book out, ley lines.
I don't think you have, isn't that exactly what you said? I mean, they pulled out a book that is about
ley lines. It's just a rate, not, without looking.
Well, obviously she knew what book it was, so she doesn't have to explain that, hey, this is a book on ley lines.
But, again, there's usually some, wait a minute, I got a book about ley lines. Boom. usually a lot of movies, even cheesy ones, have a little bit of expositions. Like,
doesn't that make it kind of cheesy to say, "Hey, I have a book on ley lines," and then maybe if you
or get the book about ley lines, like it would be like, "Get the book about ley lines. I need a book about ley lines. It has a map in it." It kind of brings the audience to the forefront about it. But without it, it's just like, all right, let's do it. But
she doesn't have to explain to everybody that this is a book on ley lines by saying, "I have a book on ley lines." When she knows what the book is, she doesn't have to say it out loud. She could just pull it off the shelf. It's just easy as that.
Or what I'm trying to get at is that the aspect of get the book about ley lines.
But you don't have to.
You don't have to, but it's telling the audience.
That's why she pulled it off the shelf.
It's telling the audience that she's going. It's a way of kind of put it in a comic book aspect is that, granted, you might know Batman has kryptonite in his belt.
Everybody knows he has kryptonite in his belt.
Right, but you have to show it. You have to show him getting it. He can't just immediately pull it out. You have to go through the process of showing it, even though you, the reader, might know it.
But they did show it. She pulled the book off the shelf. You also have to tell it. You don't have to tell it. It's a book.
It's the main trope that there are some people that it has to be told because there's going to be that question that you have to bring inform the audience of that aspect. And one of the other problems I had was the first joke in this film is a queef joke.
Yes, very funny.
It was not.
It's gross, funny and gross.
It fell flat. I'd say there's four jokes in this that worked well. One of them was from Ozzy.
I saw that one.
The others, like I said, there's maybe four jokes that worked. Four. The other one was the aspect. It's like, I just want to say this, that they tried to take the feminist side, the feminist extreme side, the Anna Sarkeesi and the Lacey Green side of feminism, and apply this to a humorous form, and it didn't work. That it came around that it worked poorly. Meaning they like Chris Hemsworth's character. He played the dumb blonde hired for his looks.
Oh, but if a woman does it, it's perfectly okay? Huh?
That's how a lot of people are saying if you point this out and use it as an example, that it's the aspect of if women do it, it's perfectly fine.
Yet how is it fine? It's not fine. Some women actually want to be intelligent.
No, what I'm saying is if...
I want to be seen as intelligent.
I have no problem with that. It's just the aspect if here's... they're using a male... They're hiring a male character. The argument that was being put out is like, all right, here's a bunch of women hiring an attractive male who is, in essence, a complete moron for a job that he is not qualified for. And they show, it's like, okay, why are we hiring him for a secretary? Well, he knows programming and knows advertising. Okay. And he's the only applicant. Okay. And the first thing he shows up is logos with a ghost with big breasts, all kind of showing that only men think about is women with big breasts. It's kind of like the whole aspect of Anna Sarkeesi and Lacey Gray saying all men think about is women with big breasts and so forth and so on. That's all they care about. And it's that whole aspect of women hiring someone as a mirror to the aspect of the only thing men will care about for a secretary is someone who's attractive and not smart. It was like they were trying to say that. And yet it kind of worked. It kind of making a point to the fact that there are parts of one of the smart, nerdy girls in the group pawing over him, and they say you can't do that, but you still hired him. My point is like they still hired him because he was attractive, and though he had no IQ, and it's like even though you mention sometimes that what they're doing is illegal, what they can do is illegal. Them pawing over him and using him as this, you know, every now and again as the crush or the creeper aspect, which. Me personally, I have a problem with. It's like, okay, you're showing that there are aspects or some aspects in today's world that men hire attractive women for positions that they have no clue over just to be that quote-unquote creeper that is wrong. Granted, you're showing that, but in this aspect, you're showing it in the wrong way. Whereas if you wanted to show female empowerment, you could have done it a hell of a lot better in a better, more serious format instead of the lackluster type deal. And as I told a couple of people, it's like they could have had a, if you want to use a somewhat of attractive woman in this role, granted, like I said, you could, I'm giving you a headache, but bear with me, like a Ronda Rousey character, Ronda Rousey herself, hiring and having a brony, I don't want to say a brony, a bro type character, the fist pumping, beer drinking, you know, type of, you know, women are object type of, objects type of misogynist. Having one of those type of people come in and say, oh, yeah, you hired, I see why you hired her. All she is looks and probably no brains for this outfit. And having Ronda Rousey say, oh, hell no, then toss him out. That's a decent, and her telling off that brony saying, hey, I'm more than just looks, I'm strength too. And kind of playing, writing the character that she is intelligent as well as strength. There, you could have used actresses like, there's a whole mess of actresses that they could have used that could have been a stronger role for this and a diverse, could have made better social commentaries than this movie was trying to do. It just didn't fit, and for the whole movie, they were portrayed as almost idiots, amateurs and idiots. But at one point, they seemed like they were instant badass ninjas during the end, and all of a sudden back to idiots. Literally, back to idiots. And it's like, wait a minute, what? You have perfect, while you're setting up all perfect aim, less than perfect aim, and all of a sudden you got perfect aim and nothing. Now you have perfect aim, and now you're back to nothing and idiots. And one of the other problems I had with, other than the cameos being not there, they were the cameos, but the cameos were so lackluster. The only one that came close to being nice and perfect, if it was set up well, was Dan Aykroyd's. That was it. Ernie Hudson's could have been better if it was set up right. The other problem was Sigourney Weaver's cameo. Because she was the last cameo in the whole movie, and she played kind of Jillian's mentor, and they're building the containment unit. Mm-hmm. And Sigourney Weaver's character is like, did you put any warning lights and codes into this, or warning, anything for warnings that if something goes wrong? And Jillian's character goes, warning lights and warnings are for men. And kind of, and Sigourney Weaver's character is like, yeah, warning lights and suggestions are for men. And both came off like, again, that whole aspect of going from a smart person to kind of the pothead, stupid pothead type deal. And it was like a jab, like, wait a minute, are you saying only men use warning lights? It's a safe, as someone who works as, you know, even though a warehouse, warning lights and warnings are, and e-stops are a safety procedure anyway. And you're saying only men use safety procedures? What's that saying about the whole aspect? It's like you're digging on both ends. You're making an insult towards women, saying women are, in essence, stupid, that they don't need warning labels and warning lights or warnings for something that should have it, and you're only saying that men are stupid enough to have this. So it's kind of like where it kind of fails and tries to dig itself in a bad light. And it the whole thing just didn't work. It fell flat for me. And it's like, okay, I could see, as for like going back a little bit, it's like I could see where it tried to succeed and it didn't. Where it could have done better is like when they first show the firehouse, instead of having somebody come up, oh, you're not going to, not so aspect that it was too expensive to rent. They could have had simply, ladies, if you're thinking of going in there, don't go in there. You don't want to rent that place. They had a industrial accident there a couple of years ago by some strange group. It could have been a nod to the original, but that's just me. I know, you're getting mad at me. But I say you're allowed to get mad at me. You're allowed. Go ahead. You're allowed.
No.
I say you're allowed.
Can we move on, please?
Yes, we can. What have you been hearing about the SDCC?
Not much.
So I grant you, I take it you haven't seen about the Defenders trailer and the Luke Cage trailer and a few of the other trailers that have been coming out. What have you been seeing about the aspect of the little Nintendo Retro system coming out?
The little one?
Yeah, about the size. In essence, about the size of your hand or about the width of the controller.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about that?
I've already got the original at home, so I don't really need it.
Well, with it, for the $60 price, it's pretty much good for those who, from what I've been told, to buy the systems, the games that are coming out, and the system itself, it's going to be more than, if you went through like the retro market, it's going to be closer to $350. Because some of the games like Mega Man 2 will keep going up in value and so forth and so on. But for the standard person who doesn't have it and wants to play the games, it's for $60, it's perfect. And a lot of people that I've been hearing from and listening to is that if this does well, which it probably will do well, probably an SNES Mini will probably come out later on in the pipeline, probably next year or the year after, depending on how soon they could put everything together and the rights that they could. Probably the an SNES Mini. We'll see how that goes in the long run. But a lot of the games, for those who don't know, a lot of the games that are coming out, there's about two. A lot of the standards, of course, there's going to be the Super Mario's first three Super Mario games, both Legend and Zelda's, Mega Man 2, of course, plus. I think there's going to be two arcade games for it, one of which is Gradius, and the other one's going to be Pac-Man, which is probably the usual standard. You want to have at least two or three Konami games for it. One is Super C. Of course, Contra is not going to be a part of it because of Konami probably wanting Contra. A lot of people have been asking in reference to will they be add-ons to this, that if there's going to be a plug-in in regards to getting more games. So far, from what I've been hearing and been told, Nintendo has been saying no. So you're not going to see a Tetris because the licensing on that has been gone, but a lot of the other secondary games you're not going to really see too much. But for the basic, a lot of the games that are listed, like Bobble Bobble, Castlevania 1 and 2, and again, the Mario's and Final Fantasy are games that are pretty much that people would want and play anyway. Not to mention, I think Star Tropics is a Final Fantasy. The first Final Fantasy and Star Tropics, I think, are RPGs anyway. It has that wide range, plus it has a few sports games to it. Though a few people said it needed one or two more sports games, like maybe like a hockey game. But for now, if anything, so like I said, I'm going to get probably the most heat. And as I've always said to you, you could always be mad at me. You could always yell at me on the show. It doesn't matter. All right? So on that note, we're about, even though we're an hour in, as much as I would have went into, I'll save the fall shows for when we get closer to September, if not August, September. I would have went into the, you want to follow the Olympics at all?
Do I follow them?
Yeah.
No.
No? So I'm not going to go into that all aspect of that, even though some of you, if that's for right now, that's all we got, even though we're probably a half. We had a rough start, and Zombie Body went on silent me because she's mad at me right now. Shit, you're mad at me. You went silent on me.
Sorry.
It's okay. Like I keep saying, she has the right to be mad at me. She has the right to call me out on the show. I've always said that to her. She has that right. She doesn't have to do anything. And, wait a minute, is that tape on your glasses?
Yeah, they're broken. They've been broken for a while.
And I haven't noticed this.
Yeah, it broke about 8 months ago.
And I haven't noticed this.
Hmm?
I have not noticed this.
Hmm?
It took me 8 months to notice this.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't yelled at me for that.
Nope.
I noticed your hair before I noticed your stinking little glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you haven't yelled at me for this. You could have yelled at me.
I could have. I don't like to yell.
But always quiet you. What I'm going to do with you? So you could always call me out. You could always yell at me that even though I didn't like Ghostbusters and all that, but still, I'm going to be a part of the hate train. I'm going to be part of that. So again, if you got, I'm going to call it a show. We've been doing this for a little over an hour. I'm going to call it because I ran through everything. Next week, you'll hear me and Big Candy go over about promotion. It's going to be a long episode. I got to clean it up, or we'll have to clean it up. Again, if you don't like what we hear and wish to yell at me about what I or disagree, you can always email me at or the show at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. We're found on Facebook, which is facebook.com/longcoatmafiapodcast. As well as we're found on Twitter and Instagram at the same, using the same handle, which is Long Coat Mafia. As always, we're found on iTunes and Google Play Music, as well as our main website, which is longcoatmafia.podbean.com. And as always, if you wish to, because we are sponsored or endorsed by Podbean, if you choose to do your own podcast, you can just go to podbean.com/Goomba, that's G-O-O-M-B-A. Get your first month free, and right now, for the first year, I think it's going to be $9, so don't, just in case they ended it when you hear this, it might be up to $10 again. So either way, you might get a dollar off or for the first year. For right now, take care, and here's the ending cues.
Bye.
Bye.
It's shocking, humiliating, and it's unacceptable.
Oh, come on, it's a classic. The only show in the world that gets better the more it's rerun.
Do I get a choice?
No! No!
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.